Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
All right, welcome back. It is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. We are here, and you can find us on Twitter at @IsItTheWelsh and at Bogman Sports for a wonderful week two set of action that's going down. We just did our DFS lineups for DraftKings. But now we are going to hit the FanDuel, and we both know that we struggled mightily on FanDuel last week. It wasn't good. I read off the lineup earlier. I ain't doing that again, so don't even ask me. So let's just get right into it. Why don't you start, though, with the deals, and then we'll go through our lineups.
All right. The deals on FanDuel, obviously we had this last year, and this is a continuing stream on FanDuel. It's very rare that you're going to find a really good quarterback deal, but I'm starting a deal this week in my lineup, so you can guess which one it is. We've got Derek Carr at 6,600, which is the exact, that's the line of your average player per start is 66, I think. So 6,600 is just below it for Derek Carr. And then Kyler Murray, 6,500 against Baltimore. Gardner Minshew, 6,400 at Houston. Joe Flacco, 6,400 hosting Chicago. Denver is Eli Manning, 6,400 hosting the Bills. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick is 6,200 hosting the Pats.
Over under that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a quarterback in week four. Yes, or
I
no,
do this. Week four? Under. I would say next week, yeah. Rosen is gone. So,
Flex League.
And you'll hear because, you know, Casey is he's a Dolphins fan. So, I asked him this week. I think I set the over at snaps for Rosen at one just to see, does he think that he gets in there? And he was like, and he is going to respond to that. So, we'll see what he says coming up there. The running back deals, the Welsh, a lot of good ones here. Kerryon is under the poverty line at 6,600. So is Phillip Lindsay, Damian Williams, Jacobs, Aaron Jones, James White, who's questionable, of course, Freeman, Cohen, Duke Johnson, Justin Jackson are all 6,100 to 6,600 in that group there. Then we move down to the 5,000s here. We've got Latavius Murray at 5,900, Royce Freeman, David Montgomery, LeSean McCoy, Giovanni Bernard, Devin Singletary, Matt Breida, your boy, Mousefart. Mousefart and Breida, same price.
Nah, I don't get that.
I don't get that either. Jordan Howard, Kenyon Drake at 5,500, Malcolm Brown, Jalen Samuels, Damian Harris. If Damian Harris gets a helmet, he was inactive week one. But if he gets a helmet, it's like I was talking about in the last segment, the Welsh, where, you know, they may be running a battering ram in the third and fourth quarter because they're up by 30, 40 points against the Dolphins already. That might be why Damian Harris would be active this week, is to be that third and fourth quarter battering ram. I don't know that Bill Belichick, you know, he would never publicly admit we're going to start the rookie because we know we're going to be up by 30 in the fourth quarter. But he would say, no, we're trying to get him, some experience. And well, this is what I'd say. Well, you know, we're trying to get Damian Harris some experience. He's got a little special teams in him there, and we're just trying to get him as much experience as we possibly can. So we made him active week two. But it's a possibility that he is the battering ram at the end of the game. Chris Thompson is in there as well. Gus Edwards, Kalen Ballage, Rashad Penny, Jalen Richard are all 5,000. Some deals in the 4,000s here. Alexander Mattison, Frank Gore, Justice Hill. Tony Pollard, maybe that might be if Dallas is stomping Washington into the ground, we might see a lot of Tony Pollard in the second half. Peterson shows up here again at 4,800. And then after that, I had pointed out Ty Montgomery, but now that we know Bell is playing, nothing really good there. Among the wide receivers here, we've got DeSean Jackson, Kenny Golladay, Calvin Ridley, John Ross, John Brown, Josh Gordon, Tyler Boyd, Jameson Crowder, Michael Gallup, Jarvis Landry, Will Fuller, DK Metcalf, Rob Anderson, and I was going to say Sterling Shepard, but he is out with the concussion. So those are the 6,000 deals in there. Is there anyone here that jumps out to you?
In the 6,000s?
Yeah, in the 6,000s at all?
John Brown was somebody that I was trying to see if I could get in a lineup. I like that. John Ross is okay priced. It feels like he's, you know, it's very much, I would have loved a little bit more of a discount on him. Landry as well. I mean, I think there's a couple $6,000 deals, but I went bigger. I went stud or scrub, essentially, in this. I went with two studs that are 7,000 plus, and then I went with someone that's under 5,500.
Ooh, I want to see if I can find out who it is. Yeah, here's the 5,000 deals.
Yeah.
Sutton, Tyrell Williams, Didi, Corey Davis, Marvin Jones, Hollywood Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Dante Pettis, Devin Funches is still in there, MVS, Hamilton, Latimer, James Washington, Larry Fitzgerald, Randall Cobb, AJ Brown, Christian Kirk, DJ Chark, QT, Moncrief, is it Amendola?
No. Okay. Yeah, it's under 5,500, but over 5,000.
Okay. Well, I mean, Amendola is 5,400.
Yeah, I thought about
Sanu, Stills, McLaurin's down here, David Moore, Demarcus Robinson, Anthony Miller, Geronimo Allison, Trey Quinn, Chris Conley. Oh, now I'm confused. Is it McLaurin?
It is McLaurin. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I didn't even realize that it's funny. I made adjustments to my FanDuel lineup that represents some stuff on DraftKings. Like, I had McLaurin already in there, so it's funny.
That's funny. Deals below 5,000 here. We've got Albert Wilson, Debo, who saw a ton of snaps. Maybe he gets a little bit more against Cincinnati this week. Preston Williams, Nelson Aguilar saw a bunch of snaps, but obviously a lot of the work went to DeSean. I think Richie James scored a touchdown last week. He's in there. And then no one else really. I mean, these are some bad ones down here. I get Hunter Renfro at 4,500. I would expect him to be more involved this week. And in the tight end deals, I mean, there's not much, you know. I think tight ends, they only have like five above the poverty line. It's like, you know, your constant five. But then you can get down here, Waller at 5,400. Delanie Walker scored twice, is 5,900.
Vernon might be a good play at 51.
Yeah, Vernon at 51 because no Jordan Reed once again. So, and Dawson Knox, and I pointed this out in my article about the interesting snap counts, the Welsh. Dawson Knox is a rookie out of Ole Miss, and he was extremely raw coming out. Way more of a receiving option than a blocking option at tight end. And Buffalo, he led Buffalo tight ends in snaps. So he's someone to just keep an eye on as far as his production goes, because he's going to get open, and he's a big dude, and he's going to present some mismatches for some linebackers for sure. But like I said, just really raw and going to be inconsistent. But at least keep your eye on Dawson Knox for pretty much everything moving forward.
All right. How about lineup time? How about I'll unload mine here. And I was kind of alluding to, I didn't even realize I did it. The two changes I made in DraftKings, I had already done in FanDuel. I have Lamar Jackson at quarterback. He's 8,200, which I believe, in contrary to DraftKings, he's not the number two quarterback. He's the number three high-priced quarterback. Deshaun Watson is number three on FanDuel. So I have Lamar Jackson, and you already know I have Terry McLaurin, who's 5,300. Now my team, a little bit priced differently. At running back, I've got Nick Chubb up against the Jets. I'm hoping for a bounce back from Nick Chubb at 7,300. And I've got Josh Jacobs, 6,500 up against Kansas City. I really like that. My wideouts with Terry McLaurin, I've got Sammy Watkins at 7,400 and Keenan Allen at 7,700. No Mike Williams with McLaurin. At tight end, I've got Darren Waller. I've got the Niners defense again. And at flex, Ezekiel Elliott versus Washington at 8,500. And that is spending up all of my dollars.
So I have 100 left over, but we've got a lot of repeats in our lineup here.
Oh, really? Hold on, let me guess who. Like, tell me how many.
I think it was three.
Okay, I'm going to guess Tell me after. I'm going to guess
okay.
Jacobs, Watkins, and Waller.
Watkins and Waller are two.
No chance.
I also have Zeke.
Oh, you got Zeke. Okay, so let's hear it.
So Kyler Murray is my quarterback. 6,500, I think. You know, last week we just didn't see how bad the Ravens defense is because they played the Dolphins. And I think they're going to take a large step back, losing a guy like C.J. Mosley. Terrell Suggs is kind of part of their leader on defense. And he's with the Cardinals now, who they're playing this week. But 6,500 for Kyler Murray. I think that game could end up being a shootout. Zeke, 8,500. Once again, like you said, great deal. I'm loading up on the Derrick Henry bandwagon this week. I got it here as well. 7,500. The Colts looked like they couldn't stop Austin Eckler at all. So I think Derrick Henry should be great in that game. Michael Thomas, once again, number one wideout, rolling him out as well. Sammy Watkins, like I already told you guys, I have him against Oakland. Love that matchup. Larry Fitzgerald, like I said, I'm kind of, stacking him with Kyler Murray in this matchup. Kyler Murray looked way better when he started throwing the ball to Larry last week, and he is going to remember that. Darren Waller at my tight end, like I said before, they should be down. They should be throwing the ball a ton, and hopefully Waller is as involved as he was last week. Marquise Brown is my flex, 5,700. It didn't take him a ton of snaps to be hugely productive against Miami last week. That is Miami, though. But, the secondary in Arizona is awful, and P-Squared still suspended Patrick Peterson. So a bunch of scrubs going up against Marquise Brown. No one's going to be able to keep pace with him. And 49ers defense, yeah. New England Patriots defense. Aww. At Miami. I'm not the guy to spend on defenses, but it's just I am going to see how much whoever plays Miami is pretty much every single week and roll them out there because they looked absolutely god awful week one. So I've got Patriots D across both my lineups this week.
Okay. So where's your confidence level? Is confidence high? I repeat.
Confidence is fairly high.
Which one?
I'm way more in FanDuel than it is in DraftKings. I felt like there was some
say
weird
that every week though.
Yeah, I might. Maybe I do. But I just feel like there are some weird buys. Like, I didn't necessarily want Cook as my tight end, but I kind of wanted Mark Andrews, but he's way cheaper. But I couldn't find where to put the rest of my money. So I had a hard time kind of constructing my DK lineup this week way more than I had an issue constructing my FanDuel
lineup. Are you worried at all? I just saw this come down. We've kind of known this, but just official reporting that Andrews, Marquise Brown, and Ingram all listed as questionable. They're expected to play, but having all of them banged up like that, do you think it's procedural, or do you think that maybe makes you want to pivot away from them?
I think it's procedural, and specifically when I was looking at Marquise Brown, because he's the only one with like a big, huge tag next to his name. Hip.
Well, I think that now Andrews and Ingram will have it because they are officially listed as questionable.
Right. They should get it. I just think that this is what they do. They don't practice those guys on Friday to not, if a guy's already banged up and he's questionable, give him the day off Friday so that he can get in the right mind frame and not have a slip up. I think on Friday, Eric Fisher, the starting left tackle for the Chiefs, injured his groin in practice. So it's one of those things where, that was a freak thing, because it was just in practice he got banged up. But if your guys are already hurt, you don't want them to get hurt. It's almost like the fourth preseason game, right? It's like, do we really want to risk this guy exerting himself right the last practice before the game and getting banged up? No, we don't. So they did the same thing with Marquise Brown last week, and he went nuts. So I think that that is kind of procedural for the Ravens. It's how they've been working things already this season. So I think that's just going to work into the second game against Arizona. And they're heavy favorites, too. So I don't know if that is giving them extra confidence to not have to practice these guys. But they are huge, gigantic favorites in this game. So I'm pretty confident in starting my Rapids this week. And I feel like I've been doing that too, the Welsh. I've been starting a lot of Ravens. Jesse pointed out that I had to start three Ravens in the three sport to beat him. And he asked me what it was worth. And I said, well, all the Avengers have to come together to defeat
them. Well, I was about to say, you know, it's like the Thanos meme. Like, it worked? What did it cost? Everything. It cost everything. By the way, this doesn't qualify. We don't have to reset our Antonio Brown meter, but we do have a little bit of news. Adam Schefter, the helmet manufacturer Zenith, has decided to end its relationship with Antonio Brown. Quote, "We look forward to seeing the Zenith shadow worn by football athletes at all levels of play this fall," the company said today. That was what they said when commenting about Antonio Brown. "We looked forward to everybody else, not him."
Well, you know, you're accused of horrible things. The companies are going to take their sponsorships away from you. So that's how the world works. And look,
remember when we thought he was a genius marketer and we're just like, oh, no, he's just crazy.
I remember when you and Joe thought he was a genius marketer.
I was not sure.
No, I was not involved in that. So I think what I said was, I think this is happening. This is a happy byproduct of his craziness. And it is, which, you know, that, to be honest, I think his football career might be a happy byproduct of his craziness. Dude just wants to work. So I don't know, man. I don't think. God, I guess I'm 75% confident that this helmet thing will not affect his play this weekend.
60% of the time it works every time.
I just can't say I'm 100% confident because he is crazy. He is crazy. We don't know.
All right. We got to go to break. When we come back, we are going to take a look at how we did last week with our pick'ems. We're going to go through all the NFL games, talk to you about the lines, pick our over-unders, and see if we're better than last year, which I have to assume is the only possible thing that we could do because it wasn't so great. So don't go anywhere. More in the league coming up.
NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League.
Has to be at least three times bigger than this.
Relax. Welcome back, friendos. It is In This League. It's the ITL boys, Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. That is us, and you can find us over on Patreon if you guys want to come and have so much fun. You guys can watch the games with Bogman on Thursday. You guys can click through and see all the craziness that goes on in our GroupMe Start and Sit room. It's wild. Bunch of good, helpful stuff. People voting on your players. You can say, I got to pick two guys out of these four. Drop them on there. People will heart the ones they like. You can get decisions in. And lots of football talk going on Sunday in the GroupMe rooms. Plus everything else we got going on. Comedy secret shows. We do a couple of those a month. They're coming up. Bogman did the interesting Snap Counts article on Patreon. It's all exclusive over there. So if you dig the ITL universe, it's a way for you to get just a little bit more of it. So let's take a look at what we did last week, Bogman. Last week we did our overs, unders, blah, 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 blah. Did we do okay?
I'm so ready to put last week behind me. Like, I don't know if you saw this, and why would you? Because if you're a normal person and not an insane person like me, you should have had the game turned off. But the game against the Steelers and Patriots was so brutal that they were talking about how Julian Edelman took Jerry Rice's daughter to his prom. And they had pictures.
On. Wait, what? Julian Edelman took Jerry Rice's daughter to prom?
To prom, yes.
Why?
Well, I mean, I'm not lying. It happened.
I don't believe you, but was this like a... Is this famous people don't need to go to Twitter and say, hey, will you come to prom with me type of thing? Like, why?
They went to the same high school.
Are you saying this happened in the past or this year?
Yes. Yeah, in the past. Of course, in the past.
Oh, okay.
Come on, man.
Can you understand why I was a little bit concerned when you just said that? I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
What is he, Quagmire? All right.
I mean, he was suspended earlier last year. I'm just trying to figure out what's all happening right now. You had me concerned. Okay, we're all good then. So wait, what does it have to do with anything? Julian Edelman and Jay Rice's sister?
Telling you that it was the Steelers versus Patriots was so brutal. Those are the stories that they were going to. They're talking about how Julian Edelman played quarterback at Kent State, and he actually played. He was a quarterback at Kent State when Sean McVay was a wide receiver at, you know, one of those MAC schools, Ball State or something, at the same time. That's how young Sean McVay is. I heard that story going into the Super Bowl, but then they were also talking about how Julian Edelman took Jerry Rice's daughter to prom. Like, this is the discussion that was going on while football was being played on the field. That's how bad the Steelers got beat by the Patriots last week. That's why I was like,
who else has Julian Edelman been dating? Guys, let's talk about something anyone might care about.
Yeah, for God's sake. But last week, if we're going to go over these results, you know, they weren't great, but they weren't like, you know, I believe we started out like 3-something, you know, and 4-something. We had a bunch of those last year. But against the spread, I was 7-8 out of 15 games, 7-8. You were 9-6. So look at that.
Bet
on the Welsh. Big winner. So Bogman on the over-unders, I was 9-6. So wow. I did pretty good on the over-unders. Whoa. You, 6-9.
Nice.
So, but here's the most hilarious part. You know, we each put together what our most confident 3-team parlays would be. You were 0-3. Your 3-team parlay was Detroit -2.5. They wound up tying. The over in the Atlanta-Minnesota game, which wound up, I believe, scoring 32 points or 40 points or something like that. The over was 47.5. And Denver -1, and they lost to Oakland. I was 1-3. I had Cleveland -5.5, LOL, LOL. They lose by 30, LOL. I had the over in the Baltimore-Miami game. I was right on that. And then I had Seattle -9.5 because I thought Cincinnati was going to be so horrific. And they beat the Bengals by one stinking point. So not the greatest week one on the games we would physically pick, but also not terrible in the overall when we look at it. So we could be doing much worse. Yeah. That's right.
Looking for not terrible. That's all that we're
looking
doing.
Looking for not terrible at all.
We can do that. All right. Want to get at this bad boy here? I've got the Espen up, Bogman. So just FYI for the game structure. Or do you have it? Should I be looking somewhere else?
Go to 2019 picks. All right. I got it all.
Okay. Oh, look at that. Look, Bogman. Just rocking. All right. First one. Indianapolis at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 3-point favorite. Over is 44. What you got?
I'm going to say, you know, Tennessee looked really good last week, and that was on the road. They look really good. Now, that is the game that they have the most time to prep for and yada, yada, yada. But we came into the year expecting Cleveland to be really good, and that was one of my picks. And they blew the doors off of Cleveland. It was not a close contest, and Derrick Henry ran all over them. Well, we just saw the Colts, and the Colts played with a lot of heart. You know, obviously losing Andrew Luck has got a burn, and the upper management knew, but the players didn't. I don't think they knew anyway that this was the plan for him to leave, which I just saw an article come down comparing Cam Newton to Andrew Luck, which I would not be surprised about. So he looked like he was absolutely miserable.
Like he would retire.
There.
Oh, that he would retire?
Yeah, not during the season, but maybe at the end of this year.
Maybe during the third preseason game next year.
Because he's been so banged up and all that stuff. But, you know, the Colts rallied and they tied that game late, and they just didn't have enough gas to hold on against, you know, the Chargers, and the Chargers beat them in overtime. You know, they got the ball first, just went down and scored. So I respect this line of Tennessee -3, but I think I'm going to take Tennessee. And I think this game is going to be a little bit uglier than people want to think it's going to be. So I'm going to take the under with the Titans in this game. I think it's going to be a lot of Marlon Mack. I think it's going to be a lot of Derrick Henry. And I don't know that I could see this game being like a, you know, 21-14, 21-17 type of a game. So even though that's one of the lower overs of the week at 44, I think there's only maybe one or two games, I think two games that have a lower over than that. I'm going to go Tennessee in the under in this one. It just feels weird to me.
I'm going to go with you on Tennessee, but I'm going to take the over on it just by a notch. I mean, I agree with you where, I mean, everything you said about Tennessee, I'm kind of in lockstep there, but I'm not sure either defense is as magnificent as we want it to be, that I think there could be some points that are scored on there, 27-20, 27-21 type of game. So that's going to put it just over. So I'm going to go with Tennessee. Chargers at Detroit. The Chargers, the Clippers, are favored by 2.5. Over is 47.5 box.
You know, I think Detroit has to be really pissed about their performance against the Cardinals last week. They had that game sewn up and won. They called that stupid timeout at the end, and that really let the Cardinals all the way back in this game, and they tied it, and they went to overtime, and it was kind of amusing to me that there was so much scoring at the end of that game. And then you go to your 10 minutes of overtime and nobody can score a point. Just didn't make much sense to me at all. But with that being said, you know, the Chargers, Mike Williams, even if he plays, he's going to be somewhat limited because of his injury. Hunter Henry's out for the year. I think they're still adjusting, and this is their first road game. So I don't really see why the Chargers are getting the benefit of the doubt in this game. They're already hurt on defense, too. No Derwin James. So I think I'm going to have to take the home team here, and I think I'm going to take the under. You know, I think what, and I've been saying this, what the plan for the Lions is they want to be very similar to how the Vikings are. They want to go smash mouth. That's what Patricia wants. They want more carry on, and they want C.J. Anderson to get involved. So they want to pass the ball less. So I think if they're in possession of the football, they are going to try to run the ball first. And the Chargers offense is reeling a little bit right now. So I'm going to take the Lions and the under in this game. I feel like a 1 out of 10 in confidence that I know how this game is going to turn out, though, because these teams are kind of Jekyll and Hyde-ish.
Yeah, I don't. That's a really good way to put it. If we were doing confidence points on these would be at the bottom, because I'm going to go on the other end. I'm going to take the Chargers because I'm only getting 2.5. But I'm also going to take the under because I'm not sure this is going to be an explosive powerhouse offensive game like really both of these teams can do. I think you can see a heavy dose of all the backs. I've speculated maybe a little bit more of Justin Jackson if they want to ground and pound. And even though Mike Williams theoretically could be out of the offense and they lost their tight end, I think the Chargers still are going to be able to move the chains as they always do. And I don't feel super confident on Detroit right now, even though I love Hockenson, and the running game has me a little bit concerned. The passing game is still a little bit wishy-washy, so I don't feel confident about this either, but I'm going to go Chargers in the under. Next up here, a couple more before we go to break. Buffalo at the Giants. Buffalo is a 1.5-point road favorite. Over-under is 44. Oh, I mean, you want to talk about confidence levels.
None. It's zero in this. Like I said, 1 out of 10 for Detroit and the Chargers. I have a zero in this. You know, Buffalo looked really lost, especially in the first half last week. They had the valiant comeback and they beat the Jets on the road in this same stadium that they're going to be playing this week. So I get liking the Bills in this game. The Giants looked terrible against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys looked really good. And I think it's more of a product of the Cowboys looking really good. Like, look, I'm not going to make any claims that the Giants are good, but I think, you know, there's a difference between an NFL bad team playing against a mediocre team, which is what the Bills are, versus a very good team, which is what the Cowboys, I think, are. So in this one, I think I'm going to take the Giants because they're the home team. And I'm going to take the under because I just don't have confidence in either offense. It's not that I have confidence in either defense here. I think Buffalo's defense is pretty good. I think that's why they're getting the benefit of the doubt and the 1.5 here. And I just think that if you're If you're the Giants, if you can keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands with Saquon Barkley and use him a ton, you don't let Josh Allen get into a rhythm, which is what he got into at the end of that game. And so if you can keep Josh Allen off kilter, he's not getting into a rhythm either way with his legs or with his arm, you can come away with a win in this game. And I think the Giants are going to win this. So I'm going to take the Giants in the under. But like the Welsh said, zero level of confidence in this one, because this is, you know, two dogs effing.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way. It's a great way to put it, Boggs. Fantastic. I'm going to go with the Giants in this as well, but I'm going to take the over. I don't like these low lines. And again, you look at two teams that could have some poorish offense and have some poorish defense and have some explosive players. I mean, a guy like Saquon Barkley could have three touchdowns in this game. John Brown could break some serious ones with Singletary. So in this case, I'm going to take the over, but I'm going to take the Giants on this. Arizona at Baltimore. Baltimore's a 13-point favorite, 46.5. You get both of the big scrambling, excitable quarterbacks that everybody is jacked up about. So what do you do with that line, though? It seems very Arizona-ish.
I'm confident in this game. I'm picking the Cardinals on the road against Baltimore, and I'm taking the over in this game. You know, we talked about it a little bit when we were going through our DFS lineups, and you used Lamar Jackson. And was it both of them or just the first one?
Both of them.
Right, so you use Lamar Jackson in both of them. This Arizona defense is terrible, and it's going to be bad all year long, even when Patrick Peterson comes back. But why wouldn't you have confidence in what Lamar Jackson did last week? Now he's at home against what might be the second worst team in the NFL behind Miami. I mean, I like the Cardinals, but they are definitely a work in progress, especially on the back half, on the defensive side of the ball. Everyone's excited about this offense in Arizona, and especially, you know, it looked like Cliff Kingsbury is going to be fired at halftime last week. I think Murray had four or five completions in the first half. It was disgusting. He finally hit his rhythm in the second half. And, you know, sometimes it can take a game or two for these brand new offenses to start working. This took one game, and they looked really good against Detroit in that second half. So, to me, I think Baltimore's defense is not great, and they weren't challenged last week against Miami at all. Miami by far has the worst offense in the NFL, though. Cardinals have a good offense. I'm really confident in the over in this game, but I would take the Cardinals with the points. I just think that's laying too many points. That's only one of two double-digit spreads this week, and I just think it's way too big. I don't think Baltimore is as good as what people are making them out to be. So Cardinals and the over for me, fairly easy, way more confidence than the other two games.
Yeah, I'm with Arizona here because of that line. I don't think Arizona is going to just, you know, roll over on their backs and, you know, have their bellies scratched. I don't think any of that's going to be happening. I'm struggling with that over, though, and it's simply because, now, you know, if I'm going to stick with Arizona, I got to take the over. So I'm going to follow you on this one. But yeah, I do think this one is relatively tough. I want to get one more quick one in before we go to break. New England, Miami, New England 19-point favorite, 46.5 is the over under. Is it fair to say we're both New England and the under here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that you're also going with the under with me, because New England has the potential to score so many points.
I just think it's 28-0 by halftime, and then the game is just done.
Right. I think this is a 35-3 type of a game. I'm absolutely with you on that. 35-3, 38-3, something like that. And the over being 46.5. This is a New England stomping. This game is not going to be close at all. And look, I know in the past that the Dolphins have held great at home. Remember last year, they put Gronk on the back end of the Hail Mary, and he couldn't make a tackle because they threw it shorter of him. And the Dolphins beat the Patriots at home. We remember the Ronnie Brown game. Remember all the Wildcat and all that stuff, the Welsh? That was a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a different scenario this year. Miami is absolutely out of it. There's not much, but I got to take New England in the under.
Yeah, it's a crazy line. I wouldn't want to be betting it or anything like that, to be honest with you, but I'm going to go New England in the under because it's just a wild one. This is going to be a fun one to track. We are going to hit the break. When we come back, we're going to get the rest of these games. We're going to burn through them, and we'll see how we can come out on the other side. More in this league coming up after the break.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
In this league.
Something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
In this league.
All right, welcome back. In this league. Patreon.com/ITL Army. I haven't been given the website update. We got to update the website a little bit. A little behind. So Patreon has been
in place. We just paid for it yesterday. So.
Oh, we did. Okay. So
we're good.
We need someone to update it that we don't pay. That's the key. Because that's been me. But we need to update the website a little bit. But our content's been living over on Patreon and the million podcasts that we do. So if this does you good, make sure you go check out the In This League Fantasy Football podcast, 2 a week. I got to tell you, I'm actually, I think, having the most fun with the In This League Football podcast that I've had in a couple of years, because I feel like we finally found the best rhythm. And people wouldn't understand this. There's definitely a rhythm to a podcast in season that you've got to find between like info and what you talk about. And we've changed it up every year. I feel like the rhythm we have right now is my favorite. So I think it's some of the best football podcast stuff we've done. So I would love it for people to go check it out.
I'm on board with you. It has absolutely been the most fun that we've had doing football this year, and everyone should check it out if you are not. So yeah, go do it.
And
go
listen to it 4 times and listen to all that.
That's
ads.
Right. Yes, everything.
And then play an ad, and then you can just turn it off again on the 5th time. Do that. all right, over-unders here. You and I are very different this week. I felt like we had picked everything the same last week. I mean, we're not very different, but we're decently different.
We only have like one team different so far.
Yeah, but like over-unders and stuff are pretty different. I guess Arizona, New England, we've only done 5, and 2 of them we are exactly the same. So never mind, I'm stupid. All right, Dallas at Washington. Dallas is a 5.5-point favorite. 46.5 is the over. What you got?
Well, Washington didn't show us much. You know, they looked good in the first half, but they showed us that they will absolutely allow a team back in. So Philly started passing the ball more. All that stuff started working. And Dallas showed us last week that they're good on both ends of the offense. Rushing the ball, obviously, Zeke, even with no training camp and stuff, looked great last week. And Dak looked like he is ready to get paid. So they looked really good. Washington is a team that, you know, I feel like they can score a little bit. So I'm going to put the over. And I think that Peterson, not having Peterson active was a huge mistake last week, because they could have used him when they got up against Philly. So hopefully he will get a nice big workload this week and Washington can grind this game out. But I think this might be, if anything, it's a point for point game if it's not a Dallas slaughter. So I'm going to take Dallas in this one because I think they're just way better. And I'm going to take the over because I do think the Redskins can put some points on the board a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with the over for sure, because I think Washington's going to put up some. But I think at the end of the day, this is a double digit scoring win for Dallas. I think Dallas, like especially getting over early, is where we're at. And then Washington maybe coming back, making a little bit closer, but I'll take the 5.5 on Dallas. Houston is hosting Jacksonville. Houston is an 8.5-point favorite, the lowest over under of the week, 43.5 box.
Yeah, you know what? I think that this may be where we diverge, because Houston's offense looked fantastic last week. They looked really good against the Saints defense on the road too. But I think the big thing that happened with Houston was Deshaun Watson just looking he looked injured in the fourth quarter. I mean, he led that comeback and he was good to go. And he set the Texans up for a win that the defense just couldn't hold. Right. The Saints came back and that huge 58-yard Will Lutz field goal had them walk off. Jacksonville, obviously, there's going to be a lot of adjustment going on here with Gardner Minshew taking over. And the defense, you know, got rocked by Kansas City, but Kansas City is going to beat up the best defense in the league. It doesn't really matter. I'm going to take Jacksonville in the under in this game. And the reason why is I think Houston, they need to keep Watson upright for the next 15 games, the next 14 after this one. So I think the running game in Houston is going to have to be it's going to have to be utilized. So I think we're going to see a lot of Carlos Hyde and a lot of Duke Johnson. And I don't know that I would start any wide receiver not named DeAndre Hopkins for the Texans. So I'm going to take Jacksonville in the under just because I think the pace of what Houston is going to want to do is going to allow Jacksonville to stay in the game. Of course, they're going to have difficulty scoring with a first start ever rookie quarterback in Gardner Minshew. So for those reasons, I'm going to go Jacksonville in the under. Did I convince you?
No, not okay. at all.
Houston in the over, right?
No, I'm going to go Houston in the under, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go Houston in the under. But over under Miles Jack attacking referees at one.
Well, he didn't attack the referees.
He tried to.
He attacked the players.
Okay. Human beings attacked by Miles Jacks, 1.5, over under.
I think it's got to be zero. I think he just had too much energy. He was excited about that first game, and he acted like a psychopath. I mean, there's no excuse for that. So, but if he does anything else, he's going to be looking at some type of a lengthy suspension. Yeah. So he better knock it off.
All right. Your boys, Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Yes. Pittsburgh is a 4-point home favorite. 47 is the over under. This is clearly Pittsburgh, but are you going over or under? You're going to pick Pittsburgh every single week.
I picked them last week, and that was not the right move, obviously. So, but the Steelers are at home. I think most people are picking Pittsburgh this week. I don't think I'm crazy for doing this. And a lot of people were picking Pittsburgh last week, too. I think there was more money on them than there wasn't. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh in the over. I got to feel like they're going to get right. The defense didn't look horrific. I mean, the secondary did, and Joe Hayden's banged up. But Seattle's offensive line looks so bad against Cincinnati. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I'm going to go with the over on this. I got to feel like someone else is going to catch the ball besides Juju, maybe Dante Moncrief. Dante Moncrief, I think, was four. He had 10 targets and caught 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah, I think he said it was his worst game of his career.
It was terrible. Yeah. It was god-awful. So if he's not better, he's going to be moving out of the starting lineup, and it's going to be all James Washington and Deontay Johnson. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh at home. They got to be pissed after that piss-poor performance from last week. And Seattle is coming off a win at home. I mean, I can see Seattle winning this game, but if Pittsburgh doesn't get this one, they're in for a very, very long season. So yeah. I think they're... It's kind of urgent.
And I'm with you, too, here. I mean, Pittsburgh at home. I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I'm tempted to take the under, though, because of the, like, Seattle's going to try to control the pace. But I'm going to take the over. And okay. I don't want James Conner to be too banged up. But I do like them absolutely slinging the ball. And I feel like they're going to force Seattle to sling the ball, which is ultimately going to be their downfall. You know, we don't know how Baby Lockett's going to be. DK Metcalf could absolutely be a problem. But if it's in, if I believed this was going to be a ground attack, I'm going to take Seattle. But I believe it's going to happen in the air, and therefore I have to take Pittsburgh in this one. My game, the San Francisco 49ers are going to Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 1.5-point home favorite. Over-under is 45. And Bogman, I am clearly going to take San Francisco, but I'm going to take the under. Because I think San Francisco's defense is, I don't think the credit is being given due to them quite yet. And I think they're going to eat up Cincinnati. I know Cincinnati might be a little bit better than expected. Joe Mixon looks like he was out there practicing, I believe, on Friday, which is a really good sign. And I know they don't look good on paper, and they might play a little bit better, but I think San Francisco is going to be out for blood this week, and I think you're going to see a lot of Breida, which I'm surprised why Mouse Fart is out there at the same run. And I think they're going to attempt... they're really going to attempt to be moving Jimmy Garoppolo around as far as like a lot of wide receiver sets, slinging the ball. This is their opportunity to do it. So I think they're going to route them. Cincinnati will probably end up getting a couple, you know, maybe a cheap score here or there. But I like under 45.5, and I like San Francisco.
Yeah, I like the air attacks for both teams in this game. You know, Cincinnati looked stronger than we expected them to. I mean, I had, you know, the line was Seattle by 9.5, and I had picked Seattle and was very confident in them. And that didn't happen last week. And they were on the road. So it's kind of I'm a little bit surprised to see Cincinnati only favored by a point and a half. But I like the Niners this year, and I like them moving forward against the Cincinnati team. Like you said, the defense looked really good. That offensive line for Cincinnati is going to be their downfall this year. I think this team could be closer to 8-8 with that week one performance had a good offensive line.
You know what I wonder is going to happen is which one of us are going to fall off the homer train first? Will it be me?
Dude, I picked against Pittsburgh a ton last year, so I'm surprised you would say that. Yes, like in years past, I've always put them in the Super Bowl and all that nonsense, but that they ain't there this year. So I'll pick them at home in a game I think they should win if I'm just looking, logically. But I am not on the Steelers train this year after watching them just get stomped by New England again week one. So it kind of took the wind out of my sails for this year.
Minnesota at Green Bay. Yeah, Rockets. Green Bay is favored by 3. They're getting the standard home favorite number. 44 is the over-under. Pretty low. What do you think here? Are you going to go Green Bay or are you going to go Minnesota? Weren't you anti-Minnesota last week?
I wasn't really anti Minnesota. I was actually pro Atlanta, which got off that train real quick. But Green Bay -3. Look, let's not forget this is their home opener and they had the extra time to prep because it played on Thursday night last week. So it's going to be I got Green Bay in the under. I think the Vikings are still going to try to do their run game bit against Green Bay. I don't think it's going to work as well. Maybe we'll get an over in that fourth quarter when the defenses are worn out. But I think I'm going to take Green Bay in the under fairly easy in this one. Pretty big confidence.
Yep, same here. But I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the over on this one. I'm going to go Green Bay, but give me some over. Green Bay is going to get this right. They're going to be slinging the ball. Minnesota has the ability to sling the ball. And similar to what I said with the Pittsburgh-Seattle one, if Green Bay dictates the pace of the game and if it's in the air, Minnesota can easily pivot with guys like Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. And I believe they will do that. So give me the over, but give me Green Bay. All right, what do we got? 5 more. We got some time here. Kansas City is at Oakland. Kansas City is only a 7-point favorite, but the over-under is 53.5. We're both clearly going to take Kansas City. And I think the over in Kansas City is the number here.
I think I'm going to take Kansas City and the over every week until they don't hit it. So
I like that.
It's going to be KC and the over for me moving forward because the offense is just unstoppable. Maybe they'll look different without Tyreek Hill. You know, this isn't a crazy 60-point over or anything. So maybe they'll look a little bit different without him. But Patrick Mahomes is the thing. And he was a little banged up against Jacksonville, but he finished out that game. You give him a week to recover. I think he's going to be just fine. So I like Oakland, and I like how they looked on Monday night, and they they out schemed Denver, but it's got to be KC in the over until they don't hit both those.
Yeah, I'm with you. New Orleans at the Rams. Rams are a 2-point favorite. 52 is the over under. I have a hard time. This was like our game of last year where I think it was you and Pizapia were Nollins and I was a Rams guy. I'm going to continue being a Rams guy here, but I'm going to take the under. So I'm going to go Rams in the under. What about you?
I'm also taking the Rams in the under. I think the home game, it's road Drew Brees. He's just not as good on the road as he is at home. And I think you'll admit that last year, it should have been the Saints. Remember that call. The Saints are going to be focused
up.
But it was the Rams, but it should have been the Saints because they blew the call.
Yeah.
It was the Rams. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to argue.
Do you think they should go back and replay the whole game now?
Absolutely not. That's ridiculous.
It's the dumbest.
There's bad calls in every single game. That one was just, that might have been the worst call I've ever seen in my life.
There also might not have ever been something stupider in all the sports and the idea that they should go back and replay a game.
Ridiculous.
It's just single-handedly the stupidest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, sorry. You got a bad break. It happens to everybody. Don't cry.
Yeah.
I'm going the Rams in the under at home. I just think 52 is too much for, it's not too much for both these offenses, but I think focused up in a rivalry game here, it's going to be under.
Yeah. Let's get to these three and let's get our hysterically ridiculous parlay, and we can do that. We've got Chicago at Denver. Chicago, man, anytime Denver's at home and they're not favored, it just jumps out to me. Probably no matter how bad they are, but 40.5. Oh, is that really? That's the lowest under. I thought the 43.5 was 40.5 is the over under with Chicago favored by 2.5.
both good defenses. I, like you said, I'm going to take Denver at home. They got to be pissed losing against Oakland. I know Chicago had the extra days to, you know, prepare for this game because of Thursday Night Football, but they just, the offense didn't click. They scored 3 points. So I'm absolutely going Denver and the under in this game. I think this is going to be a gross 21-10 type of a game.
I am going to, I'm going to go, God, those points. Those points piss me off. I got to go Denver. I can't. I wanted to take Chicago. It's, I mean, it's not quite a throw up here, like where, you know, or a gimme, a draw. What is the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Seizure,
don't
know. Aneurysm.
You know, stroke,
whatever I'm having right now. Just give me Denver in the under. Let's move on. Philly at Atlanta. Philly is a 1.5 point favorite. 52.5 is the over under. I'm going to take Philly and the under, Bogman. Defense on Philly. I really, really want to take Atlanta, though.
Yeah, look, I get wanting to take Atlanta, and because Atlanta's at home, and Philly didn't look great. You know, they let Washington score a bunch of points on them last week. I just think 52.5 is a little bit to ask, especially if Philly shows up in this game, and especially Philly's defensive line, because Atlanta has had offensive line problems. They tried to fix it in the draft. They already put Chris Lindstrom on the IR, so he's cooked, and they got young dudes starting on this line for Atlanta. I'm just not confident in the offense until they show me something. So I'm also filling in the under.
All right. So last one real quick, and let's get our parlay. Cleveland at the Jets. Cleveland is a 6.5 point favorite. 44 is the over. I'm going to go Cleveland in the under.
Cleveland in the under. I'm going to go Cleveland in the over. I think they're pissed. I think they could put up 35 points in this game. Then whatever the monoliths New York Jets get. They're quarantining Sam Darnold. I think that's hilarious.
But, all right, my parlay is going to be the 49ers, you know, getting the points, getting 1.5.
Okay.
I'm going to take Arizona with the 13.
Okay.
And I'm going to take the over in the Green Bay-Minnesota game.
Over in Green Bay.
That's my parlay. San Francisco plus 1.5, Arizona plus 13, over in the Green Bay, Minnesota.
All right. I'm going to take the over in the Arizona and Baltimore game. I'm going to pair that with Arizona plus the points. Mm. And then my last one I'm going to take is Kansas City and give the points, give the 7.
I like that one a lot. I like that one. So. A little 14 parlay, put the Kansas City up there. All right, let's get those in. Let's get those bets in. I wish I could. Oh, man, I want to get those in, and we will track them next week. I am getting out of here. Casey Bubba is going to come in and sit in for me. Bogman and him are going to hit a whole bunch more week 2 stuff. So make sure to follow me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. You can follow Scott on Twitter at Bogman Sports. And come and have some fun with us over on Patreon. I'm telling you, it's a great time for this football season. I'm out. One more hour of In This League coming up. Bogman, Casey, Bubba, don't go anywhere. Hitting this break.